نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم خلق الانسان في احسن تقويم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاه اكمال الدين ومن اطاعها اتم الدين ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام رسل العلماء الكرام حضرات الاسلام الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed mankind with various tools, achievers, abilities, faculties, and this has given to us without any effort or sacrifice. We did not have to make a payment in order to be blessed with eyesight. We did not have to make a payment to be blessed with the ability to speak or hear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with all these abilities gratis. Condition is that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the quality of iman. And because we have iman, we Muslims think differently, feel differently, express ourselves differently, and we view matters, whether it is local, provincial, country, or international matters, we view it from a different angle. Before a Muslim views anything, he puts on the spectacles of iman and sees things through iman. Whereas the kafir, the one who is not blessed with iman, when he views anything, he will either put his intelligence or rationality forward, or he'll put his finance forward, or he'll put his social setup forward, or he'll put his motivation, personal motivation forward, and that thing. But a Muslim, he will utilize iman and that thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed mankind with various levels and various forms and various categories and degrees of hidayah. A child, a baby, possesses what we call fitri hidayah, natural hidayah. This child, when it is hungry and when the mother places the breast near the child's mouth, then the child does not have to be taught how to take that milk out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught that child, or teaches that child at that moment, how to extract the milk from the mother's breast. This form of actions of the child, we call fitri hidayat, natural guidance imbibed in the child itself. Animals, human beings have been classified animals, but the lower strata of animals, the four-legged animals, and the animals that we see around, they have been given this fitri hidayat. The animals that do not talk or cannot express themselves, they have been given this fitri hidayah, this natural hidayah. They do things instinctively, naturally. They go and look for their food, they care for their little ones, and they protect themselves against heat or protect themselves against cold. They defend themselves, they move around, seek their livelihood, so forth. Another form of hidayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given mankind is hissi hidayat. Hissi hidayat would refer to the five senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we can hear, we can touch, we can smell, we can sense things. As if we can utilize these senses to look for guidance. We'll translate hidayat as guidance, the path. A person, by looking at the
atmosphere, a person, by looking at the weather conditions of the world, by a person studying climatology in detail, he can guide and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. A person by looking at the planets, a person by looking at the movement of the equinoxes and the eclipses, a person by looking at the study of the galaxies, he can, by making a study of astrology, come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. So by looking around him, a person by sheer observation, by sheer system of thought, what is going around us, he can come to a conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. He even can conclude by observation that there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there were going to be two controlling the entire universe, then there should have been chaos or confusion, or there could have been difference of opinion, like two drivers in one car, one deciding to go straight and one deciding to turn right, automatically the car will go haywire. Similarly, a person by his intelligence, the next form of hidayat, the aqli hidayat, by intelligence, he puts down things logically or rationally, he'll be able to conclude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down us for a set purpose, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, our nourisher. And the other form of hidayat which the ulama mentioned is batini hidayat, internal hidayat. A person feels inside that he must do certain actions. This is granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is blessed with this, that he must do this action at this particular time. This a person can do when his internal system is clean, when his internal system is in accordance with the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then his internal, his inner self can serve as a guiding light to him. Another thing, the Quran is the living hidayah, and the Quran is the perpetual hidayah. The Quran is the eternal hidayah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes and praises the Quran and defines the Quran in the Quran itself, then the most common adjective used to describe the Quran is hidayah. And hidayah, guidance, is linked with the Quran. Guidance is connected with the Quran. And a person acting upon the Quran, inshallah, would be guided. Now when a person is guided and he wants to be guided by the Quran, automatically he'll have to get the correct elucidation and explanation of the Quran. And that is done in the seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we must understand. In order to reach the Quran, in order to understand the Quran, in order to comprehend the Quran, we cannot just sit ourselves and just read the Quran and say we understand the Quran. No, the Quran has to be understood from the Sharia, from the Ahadith, from the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the Athar of Sahaba, from the statements and the opinions of the Sahaba. No person can say that, listen, I do not want to study the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I will understand the Quran. I do not want to understand the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I want to understand the Quran. Then that will be batil, falsehood, leading towards falsehood. And a person who endeavors to make and to do such an action, he is definitely not on the right path. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi states very clearly that he gives an example. If a person, a friend of yours, receives a letter, and in that letter various things have been written, your friend, he understands the full meaning, he understands the purpose of that letter better than you. Why? Because that letter has come to him. He understands the siyak and sibak of it. He understands what has come before it and after it. He understands why that letter came to him, how that letter came to him. He understands the metaphors in that letter. Similarly, the Quran al-Kareem, without understanding the circumstances of revelation, the Quran from the grammar point of view, from the syntax point of view, from the point of logic and rational point of view, from the various angles which the ulama have stipulated in order to understand the Quran, a person who makes a self-study of the Quran will definitely end up making self-opinionated tafsir bil rai on the Quran. Now the tendency has come about that if someone reached the moon, then we quickly run to the Quran and look what the Quran says about going to the moon. And if someone has to perchance go to Mars, then they will look in the Quran. What the Quran has to say? Then they will come to a conclusion. And they will come to a conclusion by induction, by forceful logical reasoning, that the Quran is talking about moon, about the Mars, about people going here, there and everywhere. Here we must understand with a cool heart that the Quran is not a textbook on geography, that the Quran is not a textbook on astrology, that the Quran is not a scientific textbook, that the Quran is not a textbook for science or chemistry or for geology or for botany or for zoology or for pathology. The Quran is not a textbook for those things. The Quran is a hidayat kitab. The Quran is a constitution, a life constitution. The Quran has given us guidelines on how to design our life. The Quran, if it mentions, when the Quran mentions about the planets, etc., these are illustrative examples to help us or to guide us. But the Quran is by no stretch that, listen, it is a textbook on chemistry. Similarly, certain people who study the Quran, they put on the spectacles of politics. So anything and every ayat of the Quran, they try to misconstrue it, they try to forcefully turn the interpretation and meaning, or they view that ayat completely with a political view, perspective, and twist the meaning and say, the Quran is full of politics. So we should be very moderate, and we should understand this, that the ulama who are the authorities in Sharia, they after studying 6-7 years, they now understand the Quran, and alhamdulillah, by narrating the statement of the pious predecessors, we can understand Quran. Explaining Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah's example, the Quran has come to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained it to the Sahaba. The Sahaba explained it to their followers, and this has been recorded. So the meaning of the Quran, alhamdulillah, is present. It is for us to act upon the Quran. And hidayat basically has got two broad meanings. There are two broad meanings of hidayat. One is, for example, if I have to ask a person to explain, how do I go to the airport? So you explain to the person, and you say him that you must go and take this road, R22, and how this is how you get onto that R22, and you give him a diagram or you give him an explanation of how to reach the airport. You are guiding him, but you are guiding him with direction. That is one explanation of hidayat, a guidance by direction. And one form of hidayat is this: a person asks you that how to go to the airport. So you hold him by the hand and you take him to the airport. From the point he's starting to the point where he's supposed to go, that is also a meaning of hidayat. These are two meanings of hidayat. Now, respected elders, that hidayat into Islam, that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No man can give that hidayat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was standing at the deathbed of his uncle Abu Talib, and he was presenting Islam to him. In fact, he was pleading to his uncle that, "Oh uncle, oh my beloved uncle, accept Islam." And on the other side of the bed was Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and the Quraysh leaders, the Kufar and the Mushriks, who were saying, "Do not accept Islam." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presenting Islam, and they were saying that, "Are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers, that is idol worship, and accept the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam?" No, you must not do that. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented Islam, they said, that do not disgrace us by accepting Islam. Because if you accept Islam, you'll be humiliating us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came right near his uncle. He bent down and he went towards his ears and said, "Oh uncle, say the kalima. Say it to me that only I hear it. I will plead for you on the day of Qiyamah. I will intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah." But Hidayat was not written for him. To come into Islam was not written for him. To come to Jannah basically was not written for him. Therefore he died out of the fold of Islam. So this Hidayat, the Hidayat into Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives it. But it is our duty, it is our responsibility that we must present Hidayat to everybody, to all and sundry. And then, inshallah, our iman will become strong. And the Hidayat to do good, the ability to do good. Every Muslim has the potentiality of becoming a good Muslim. Every Muslim has the potentiality of becoming a namazi, for going for Hajj, becoming a good person, not to swear anybody, not to abuse anybody, not to misbehave, not to steal loot, not to go to Sun City, not to gamble, not to fornicate, not to indulge in adultery, not to go to the casinos. Every Muslim has got this ability inside that he can stay away from the evil and do the good. So every Muslim must exploit this, that he's got this good, he must come in the company of good, he must come in the environment of good and do good. As a respected elder, at this point here, good and bad, I think what to be good and bad, that is determined by Sharia, not determined by any parliament. In some parliaments of the world, the women folk go practically naked to the parliament, somewhere in Italy, and that is regarded as very good. Some parliaments regard abortion as good, and some people say, no, opium is good, and some say, no, even marijuana is good. And some say, no, man can get married to man. Some say, no, homosexuality is good. Lesbianism is good. All in the name of law. All in the name of legislation. All in the name that they regard this as good. Remember this, respected elders. Good is determined by Allah Ta'ala and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Good has been stipulated in the Sharia. What Allah regards as good, will regard as good. What Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Shariat regard as good, we will regard as good. Even if we do not understand why this is regarded as good. And respected elders, we must learn now to think like Muslims. Understand what I'm saying? To think like Muslims. For example, that we know that Hurricane Andrew is causing havoc in America. Now we as Muslims, how we must view the situation? We know in New Zealand, thousands of lambs have died. And we know, for example, in South Africa, now and then you get black onto black violence, there is loss of life. Do we have to sit back and say, very good, these things are happening? Or do we have to say, that very good, the hurricane, Andrew has done all this? Yes, it could be an azab from Allah Ta'ala, or to the Americans. But remember, any loss of life, anywhere in the world, whether it be Muslim or non-Muslim, that is not a good thing to be happy about. We cannot behave like how they behave. A person who is behaving badly to you, you do not behave badly to him. A person who is swearing you and abusing you, you do not swear and abuse him. A person who wants to harm and have evil on you, you do not do that to him. Yes, Allah Ta'ala will take charge of that. But we should view things as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand the practice of deen, create harmony amongst us, and grant us ability to make the masjid abad. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.